This is Yehuda HaKohen.
And this is Eliyahu Chaim Ben Reuven of the Zionist Freedom Alliance.
And this is the struggle for Israel's freedom on Free Israel Radio. That's right, IsraelNationalRadio.com, the only independent news network in the Middle East. Anyone with comments or questions regarding our program can, of course, contact me. The email address is Yehuda@IsraelNationalRadio.com. Now, Eliyahu.
Ken.
Today is Yud Bet, the 12th day of the month of Tishrei, 5768. I'd like to wish all of our listeners, I'd like to wish you a Chag Sameach. This Wednesday evening, of course, begins the holiday of Sukkot.
Toda.
Where we move into huts and trust solely in our God. Our prophets teach that it will be during Sukkot that the nations of the world will unite and come against us, only to be defeated here in the land of Israel.
Yeah, it feels like it's brewing up.
Can't wait. But speaking... You know, really, speaking of foreign nations coming up against Jerusalem, there's been a great deal of controversy recently over the Christian evangelicals, the quote-unquote Zionist Christians, who've been lending Israel political support and have even been offering financial assistance to a number of important nationalist Jewish causes. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a lot of debate recently as to whether or not we should be accepting this support. You know, and the answer to that, of course, depends on us clarifying some important issues. Namely, who are these people, and what is their true agenda here in the land of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
But things have really begun to heat up in this debate only recently with the approaching annual Feast of Tabernacles. This week-long celebration in Jerusalem... It's sponsored by the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem, which describes itself as the world's largest Christian Zionist organization. The event draws tens of thousands of Christians from around the world for a week of teaching, worship, and prayer that culminates with a march through the streets of Jerusalem. You know, I guess we'll talk about how we feel later on regarding this issue.
I don't want to be kicked off the air.
No, I mean, you know, it kind of...
It's a bit on the controversial side.
I feel the same way I did when I heard about the gay parade coming through Jerusalem.
No, this is worse. This is worse, because this is being led to idolatry. It's not just being led to
immorality.
Coming to lusts.
Yeah. All right. Well, the chief rabbinate's council has a committee for the prevention of missionary work in the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. And this committee is, of course, led by Rehovot Chief Rabbi Simcha Kuk. And they issued a decision last month that was later ratified by the two chief rabbis of Israel. And the decree has two parts. And it essentially says that, A, we bless the tourists who will arrive in our Holy Land for the upcoming holidays, and among them also those of different religions, meaning it's cordial, it's diplomatic, we're welcoming everybody who's coming for the holidays. And the second part is that it is forbidden for any Jew to take part in the gathering, the gatherings that are taking place in the Binyanei HaUma, Jerusalem Convention Center,
mm-hmm.
and it's forbidden for a Jew to take part in the marches taking place during the Sukkot holiday, because the information that the rabbinate that they've seen, states that some of the bodies gathering there are active in attempting to convert us from our faith.
Yeah.
And one who fears for his soul will stay far away. That's according to the chief rabbinate of Israel. Now, we have with us on the line Ellen Horowitz, a gifted artist and author of, she wrote The Oslo Years, a mother's journal, which I had bought for my wife. Ellen is a regular op-ed columnist at IsraelNationalNews.com, and as both a painter and a political cartoonist, has captured the spirit of both our struggle for freedom and the pain of our nation during these difficult times. Ellen is also a community activist and was one of the original founders of both the Crisis Center for Religious Women and the Women in Green. She spent the last 6 months researching the Jewish evangelical relationship. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Yehuda.
Now, Ellen, you have been investigating these Christian Zionist groups over the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of your findings, you're waging an informational campaign essentially warning the Jewish people to be cautious in our cooperation with these groups.
That's right.
What can you tell our listeners about their agenda and why we should think twice about accepting their help?
Okay, so I would like to start out by saying, like all Jewish problems, this one is just so complex and yet so very simple. This isn't about attacking Christians or not showing gratitude to very faithful and devoted friends. This is about asserting ourselves as a people in our land and remembering who we are, where we are standing, and becoming aware of our distinct role in this world. And it's about setting limits. We need to think and feel like Jews again. The onus is on us and not on the Christians. When we form alliances, whether they be political, religious, or cultural, it has to be with guidelines and accountability. And we as Jews can't be afraid to analyze and honestly assess the costs of a relationship and affect change. As I see it, this is basically a call for accountability and responsibility. So whether, like you say, it's the gay parade in the streets of Jerusalem, or concessions to Palestinians, or turning a blind eye to missionary activity because too much money is involved, we need to stand on our principles. Now, under the circumstances, Rabbi Simcha Cook, the head of the Chief Rabbinate's Council Committee for the Prevention of Missionary Work in the Holy Land, formulated a very diplomatic solution, as you say, to a complex halachic problem. Okay, basically, the first part of the statement welcomes and blesses the tourists, including Gentiles, who arrive in the Holy Land. And the second part asks that Jews stay away from events frequented by Christian missionaries. What could be more diplomatic or simple or fair? Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles is first and foremost a Christian event. Now, David Pawson, one of the main speakers at this year's feast, is on record for stating, quote, "We cannot help but be missionaries. And I have discovered that some Jews despise us if we pretend not to be." Meanwhile, we have featured speakers like Jack Hayford and Robert Stearns, who are highly respected here in Israel amongst many evangelical groups and Jews alike. And they came out of the closet this year twice and sponsored major conventions that championed the cause of Messianic Judaism. And, of course, there's a variety of Messianic Jewish speakers who will also be featured. So my feeling as an activist is that if we cannot establish and secure internal and personal boundaries, then we will have little chance of defending our external borders. In Christian theological dialogue, worship, and pilgrimages are simply off-limits to the Jewish people. So that's what I respond to when people say, "Ellen, for crying out loud, you live up on the Golan Heights, that you've got Syria at your throat, there's the Iranian threat, there's Sderot, there's a zillion, there's government corruption in Israel. Why are you dealing with this issue?"
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but why don't you think the state of Israel has... We're lacking very serious anti-missionary laws.
We're lacking the laws, and I'm gonna get into that in one second. I just want to say that anybody who tells me that the evangelicals are our best friends and I should shut up and don't ask questions or don't bite the hand that feeds us is acting like anything but a proud and free Jew in his land. And I want to just reiterate that this is not about the history of anti-Semitism or apartheid, as Malcolm Heading, the director of the Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, claims. And he wrote in the Jerusalem Post article a couple weeks ago that I'm prejudiced, racist, and a bigot. This is a serious religious matter and a threat. We have a missionary problem in Israel, and I'm surely not going to sell my soul or the soul of my children because the Israeli economy depends on it. Now, I've spent the last 6 months seriously investigating evangelical Christian activity in Israel. Now, there is no question that evangelical groups in Israel feel a religious obligation to spread the gospel. They are fueled by eschatology, end times aspirations, and are using their increased interest in their Jewish roots to promote Judeo-Christianity. Their love for and devotion to Israel is very real, but it's theological in nature, and that theology at times translates into both overt and covert missionary activity. The evangelical Christian movement enjoys an almost unlimited and unrestricted missionary opportunities in Israel due to a lack of Knesset legislation and an unwillingness to adopt and enforce any such laws. Economic and political interests and considerations have persuaded private and public sector individuals and organizations, both secular and religious, in Israel to make a deliberate decision to turn a blind eye to missionary activity and its damaging consequences. Now, if you'd like, I can get into just a very brief timeline.
Well, Ellen, we have with us on the line now Jerusalem Councilwoman Mina Fenton.
Okay.
And shalom to all of you.
Shalom. Shana tova. Councilwoman Fenton, welcome to the show. Can you give us some details on the recent ruling of Israel's chief rabbinate against Jewish participation in the Feast of the Tabernacles?
I think that what you read is very precise and very prompt. There is a prohibition according to din, which is according to our halakha, according to our Torah, our law, the Jewish law, to any Jew in Israel and abroad in the whole world to take part in these conventions, in these meetings, in Binyanei HaOmah, in Jerusalem, including the marches in the city during the festival of Sukkot this year. And this is according to the information which was given to us, this is the committee saying, from part of the bodies who are, you know, professional, about part of the bodies who are going together in Binyanei HaOmah and who are acting in order to convert Jews, to convert. Anybody who wants to keep his soul will keep a distance from them. We must understand that the Feast of Tabernacles is not a new thing. It has been for 27 years.
So in that case, Councilwoman, yes, Fenton, why would the rabbinate, you know, choose now,
right,
to issue this severe ruling?
I'll answer
if it's been
you.
Going
this
on
question,
for so many years.
Few people already raised this question. Number one, maybe things were not so certain to outsiders, what goes on, and it came the time that we are unveiling and bringing the truth forward. We can judge it this way or another way, but we must understand that as the format which is now, it's only the last five or six years. Now we want to understand, when we speak of conversion or missionary, etc., as a Jewish believer, religious Jew, as a religious Jew, we cannot part or say he believes the other one, we speak of the Christians, in certain things, and his behavior is loving us, helping us, comforting us. There is no differentiation between a belief, faith, religion, and the way the person acts and behaves and does things socially. So things has to be connected, number one, not divided. We must understand, we talk of gigantic organizations from the whole world, mainly from the United States, with a clear vision of his second coming, utilizing the opportunity of us opening doors according to the democracy of the country, the ruling democracy of the country. But we forget that we have to be so careful, because the Christians have their aims according to their belief, in order to hasten his second coming, in order to strengthen themselves in Israel, which actually they see it as their own country, because this is the country of the origin of their Messiah. So actually, they see Eretz Israel as their own country.
Well,
and if we come to Yerushalayim, even more so, because his reign, when the time comes, will start on Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim to Judea and Samaria, and then to the whole world. Now, this somebody can say, all right, we shall wait, we shall see, is he coming, isn't he coming, is it true, isn't it true? We cannot play with faith and religion. We have to take things on their face exactly as they are.
Now, Ellen.
Yes.
You know, regarding what Mina just said, you've talked about guidelines. You've come out publicly and said you're not talking about, you know, just staying away from these people. You're talking about guidelines as how in how we interact and how we cooperate. Can you elaborate very quickly for us what you mean?
Well, first of all, you know, you can't just point blank say the evangelicals are our friends, period. That's the end of the story. And you have to have a proper accounting. I would just like to show how the attempt to make guidelines in this country fell apart. Would I be able to do that? Do I have time for that?
No.
I don't. Okay, no, because in 1998 there was serious anti-missionary legislation that was being drafted in the Knesset. and due to American Congress and the State Department and the International Religious Freedom Act, it was tackled. It was knocked down totally. Netanyahu buckled, and the people sponsoring the bill withdrew.
Does the International Religious Freedom Act affect places like Saudi Arabia or Iran?
Yeah, there's a congressional report every year that they come out with.
Do these countries abide by it? Do these nations abide by it?
No, they don't abide by it.
Of course,
Israel is very sensitive.
Because
we're very sensitive because we're allied with America. We do have this very close evangelical relationship. And because we're a democracy and we're concerned about freedom of expression and religious expression, and because, quite frankly, America has exported, I don't like the word Judeo-Christian, and I don't use it in a religious sense, but America has exported Judeo-Christian Western civilization and thought over here to Israel. So when it comes to
you mean their version of,
of freedoms, of personal freedoms, it's problematic because you see they're wreaking havoc in the region. American style personal freedoms are turning this region on its head. It's the same thing, you know, like why do you have to have a gay parade in the streets of Jerusalem? Because freedom of expression, freedom of religion,
right.
First Amendment. So all of this is coming to the fore, especially now. And the even though the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem may claim that they're not directly doing targeted proselytizing by standing on the streets and passing out brochures, by their pressuring Israel not to have proper legislation, and by them going to the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus and facilitating easier visa allowances for the various missionary groups, they are essentially facilitating.
Now, Ellen, we have six.
Hello. Yeah.
We have 6 minutes left. Whoa.
Is Rabbi, did you get Rabbi Kravitz?
We have Rabbi Kravitz on the line, but for some reason we get, when taking him. Hello? Is Rabbi Kravitz there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Rabbi Kravitz, I just want to introduce you to our listeners. Rabbi Ben-Zion Kravitz is a founder of Jews for Judaism International and the current executive director of the Los Angeles branch. With over 25 years of experience, he has one of the highest success records in the Jewish community, to my knowledge, for counseling Jews involved in cults and Christian missionary groups. Rabbi Kravitz, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Are Mina and Ellen still with us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I just wanted to ask, Rabbi, can you present for our listeners the recent statistics on the estimated number of Messianic Jews in Israel and the number of Messianic institutions? Like, how many Israeli Jews have actually accepted their Messiah in the last few years here?
Well, first of all, I want to say that there are over 300,000 Messianic Jews worldwide.
Okay.
And in Israel, the latest estimate is that it's close to 15,000. And over 100 different institutions and meeting places for the Messianic movement.
And how do we know?
That's pretty significant.
Absolutely. How do we know that these people are connected to the same Christian groups that are funding, you know, nationalist Jewish causes in the land of Israel?
Well, in addition to the fact that they're participating in this Feast of the Tabernacles, we know that a lot of the funding for many of the Messianic groups come from groups like the Assemblies of God and the Southern Baptists, who have clear statements of proselytizing and targeting Jews for conversion. I mean, it was the Southern Baptists that in the last few years recently, you know, reaffirmed their commitment to converting Jewish people. So there's no question about the Messianic movement's agenda in terms of wanting to bring Jews to Jesus. And even before we go any further, I just want to make one very important point. It is a straw man when Messianic Jews simply say that the issue is that they believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe that the Messiah is God, part of God, the Son of God, part of a Trinity. And that belief is unanimously considered idolatrous for a Jewish person to believe in. And they're being disingenuous when they simply say that they believe he's the Messiah, and we'll find out later whether he is or isn't. The issue here is that they worship him as God.
So,
and that is serious.
No question. And as I'm sure you're aware, here there are several Zionist organizations that do very important work for the Jewish people. And in recent years, a lot of these organizations have felt very have felt very alone and unsupported by Jews throughout the world and the Israeli government, and they've begun to take political and financial help from these Christians. Now, when confronted with the realities of what the three of you are saying and the Christian evangelical agenda that pretty much, you know, these people pretty much answer that Israel needs all the friends it can get, and when the Messiah comes, we'll see what happens. How do you respond to these people when they say, well, we need them today?
You know what? I was just listening to another show at the beginning of your show, which said our true trust has to be solely in God.
Right.
And have we, as religious committed Jews who are involved with the evangelicals, forgotten that point? It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have friends, and we appreciate friends, and we appreciate their financial help. But a true friend of the Jewish people doesn't simply love Israel. They respect and love Judaism. And I must make it very clear. If you were a fly on the wall in a room with evangelicals and messianics and ask them what they think about Judaism, our beautiful faith, they will tell you it is an incomplete religion, it is a man-made religion, it's not a path to reaching God, and that we can't get rid of our sins through Judaism, only through Jesus. That is a demonstration of a lack of respect for Judaism.
Well, and anybody who wants more information or wants to learn more, get involved with Rabbi Kravitz, can of course go to www.jewsforjudaism.org. I have a question in the next, you know, minute and a half for Councilwoman Fenton. Can you give us a picture, a very brief picture, of the financial web that has been woven around the problems inherent in accepting funds from these Christian organizations?
I would say this comes up to hundreds of millions of dollars. There are several very big organizations. They have penetrated any form, any subject, any part in our lives. Welfare, education, absorption, aliyah, culture, anything you can mention, they are there with their money. And this is a target, to be everywhere, to put money and to be there in order to have a say. I have warned already 5 and 6 years ago that with this money, with this coverage in so many subjects, they are going to overrule us and...
Well, I'd like to thank the three of you for coming on. We'll have you on again soon. This is an important issue and we have to finish it. Stay tuned after the break.